could see you this evening. If you would, please turn your Bibles tonight to Philippians chapter 3. We started an introduction to justification, the doctrine of justification, last Sunday. We're going to spend a few weeks on Sunday nights on this doctrine in the Bible. Last week we gave a working definition of what justification is, and then we looked at some things, a classic example really, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, where you saw the Pharisee and the publican, and the things that the Pharisee trusted in to justify him. And of course the Lord showed the folly of that. And when the publican said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," and smote his breast, Jesus said, "This man went down to his house justified," rather than the religious Pharisee. I want to look at it a little different way tonight. Things that lost men trust in for salvation and justification. And Paul really lays it out in Philippians chapter 3 with his own testimony. And so we'll read verses 1 through 9 there of Philippians chapter 3. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Now he's going to give a warning. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Those who were insisting that in order to be really saved, you had to be circumcised. He says, and notice what he spares no words in describing them. He called them evil. Folks, if you teach that there's any other way to be justified rather than through faith in Jesus Christ in His finished work, it is an evil doctrine. It's an evil teacher. We can't mince words about that. Because if you're wrong about the way of salvation, if you're wrong about how men are brought to a saving relationship with God, you are wrong about everything. It'll cost you your eternal soul. There is only one way to be justified, by faith in Jesus Christ. And specifically, in His death on the cross for your sins, His burial, His resurrection. Jesus Christ is the only way that you can be justified. So Paul is making it very clear that if you're trusting in teachers who teach that you can be saved by a religious ritual such as circumcision, you are dead wrong. And they're evil. He says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in his flesh, I more." He begins to give you his pedigree. "Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." This is what he thought would justify him before he was saved. In verse 7, he says, all that's rubbish. All that, he said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Those things that I was boasting in, trusting in, they availed me nothing when it came to salvation. I got rid of all that. I was willing to give it all up for Christ alone. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now again, this is about as strong as it gets. He's saying, that's how worthless my works, my rituals, my pedigree, my zeal, my religious zeal, none of that is worth anything. In fact, I count that all but dung, refuse, a stench in the nostrils of God. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Now he gives us a summary, really, of what most people are trusting in. What they think will justify them before God. Number one, he makes it a point, says, one of the things I trusted in was my race, my genealogy, my family lineage. He said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. He declared himself to be a Hebrew. I'm a Jew. I'm part of God's chosen nation. In fact, I can even tell you what tribe I trace my ancestry back to. It is the tribe of Benjamin. And he thought that because he was born into a certain family, into a certain race, that he was saved. That is complete falsehood. You can't trust in your family lineage. You see, many people who go to church all their lives are lost. Many of them think that salvation comes through being raised in a church, raised in a Christian home, or in a certain specific church. Fact is, regardless what your family lineage may be, if you're not born again, you'll not see the kingdom of God. If you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it does not matter how holy, how righteous, how wonderful your parents were, you need to be saved. You can't trust in your lineage. You're not saved by your race. John chapter 1, I think, points this out very clearly when it comes to the new birth and the source of faith. If your faith is in your family, then you're going to go to hell. Look what he said in John 1 verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's not of your bloodline that you're saved. It's only through Jesus' faith in Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, Jesus made it crystal clear to Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. He was a ruler among the Jews, and he told him, you've got to be born again if you're going to see the kingdom of God, if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God. You need a birth from above that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit of God, bringing spiritual life to you and enabling you to believe that Jesus died for your sins. Again, that John chapter 3, the order of John 3 is significant. You have regeneration by the Spirit and then faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be life in the sinner before there can be faith in the Savior. You have to be born of the Spirit. And I believe that there's no time lapse. I've stated this so many times. I get a little tired of it, but the fact is, as soon as someone is born of the Spirit, they are immediately given the grace of change of mind and repentance of sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is immediate. So whoever's born again immediately believes the gospel message that's been preached. So, first thing he refutes is the idea that you can be saved by your family lineage, by your race, by the tribe that you come from. Can't. And then the next thing is he highlights that he was circumcised the eighth day. Now, those of the concision, because there were Jews in that day who said that they, in order to really be saved, now, they were. This was a lot of what the book of Galatians refuted. If you're really going to be saved, you've got to be circumcised. Well, salvation is not in any outward rite. It's not in any religious ceremony. He said he was circumcised on the eighth day and of the stock of Israel. He was trusting in an external rite, an ordinance, a religious ritual to be part of his salvation. I'm not trusting in anything other than Christ. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. O Lamb of God, I come. Jesus is the way. Not circumcision, not a religious ritual, not an ordinance, not baptism, not the Lord's Supper. The Roman Catholic Church has taught for years that in order to be justified, sanctified, in order, if you even have a hope of being saved, you have to be sprinkled in the Catholic Church as a baby, and you have to start taking the Eucharist after your confirmation when you're about 12 years old or whatever it is. That is nonsense. You're not saved by rituals. You're saved by the work of Christ alone. Baptism, sacraments, church membership, a doctrinal creed. None of those. You can recite the Apostles' Creed all day long and go straight to hell. Because salvation is not in a ritual that you perform or a ceremony that you go through. That same goes for the sinner's prayer or coming down to the altar. There's no saving significance in the front of the church. You got to go to Christ. You got to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You're not saved by rituals. Think of how many people are trusting in rituals and religious ceremonies to save them. There are churches dotted all across Lawrence County and throughout the state of Ohio that believe with all their heart the only way to get to heaven is to get into water and be baptized by a certain kind of preacher. I'm here to tell you, you could be baptized by John the Baptist himself and split hell wide open. Judas Iscariot was. You're not saved by baptism or by good works. And then he gets on to the next one, and that is religious sincerity. How many people are trusting in that they're sincere? That they have a sincere belief in some certain system, a sincere belief that baptism, water, washed away their sins, a sincere belief that the Pope has the ability to forgive their sins, a sincere belief that if they follow the Ten Commandments and they try to do right and live right, that that's going to get them entrance into heaven. There are literally millions of people who are sincerely on their way to hell because they're not justified by faith in the blood of Jesus. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's the way of justification. It's not by religious sincerity. Paul, you talk about somebody who was a great paragon of Jewish virtue. He said, concerning zeal and persecuting the church, I was the top Jew. I was the one that was persecuting. I'm the one that had letters to take to Damascus to try to find and root out everyone that named the name of Christ, imprison them, kill them. Look how sincere he was. You may be the most sincere, loyal, and zealous person and still go to hell with a wrong belief about salvation. This is so serious because there are a lot of religious people, there are a lot in Baptist churches who think that their religious sincerity is enough to get them into heaven. Think about all the cults who think that they are absolutely right, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists who trust in a day rather than in Christ. Think about it. Every one of those cults have something in common. They all believe, and listen, they're devoted. They are all in. They are completely consecrated to their belief system. Same is true with a lot of Roman Catholics. Now, I believe that there are Roman Catholics who are saved. Because the Bible says, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, in Revelation chapter 18. So there are God's elect in that religious organization that God has saved in spite of their doctrinal creed. Think about how many people are trusting in their religious profession. They're sincere, they're zealous, but they're sincerely wrong. And it may be the most shocking thing. Because there's a lot of religious people like this. Jesus pointed that out in Matthew chapter 7 when he said this in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. They got the language right. Shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Wow, we were sincere, we were zealous, we had a lot of works to back it all up. What's Jesus say? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Think about that statement. When you are trusting in your religious sincerity, you are working iniquity. Because you are despising the blood of Christ in favor of your religiosity. Jesus said that he's going to say, depart from me. And I believe that's for all eternity. Have you ever thought about this? When you go to the doctor, do you go to the doctor because there's somebody that's really sincere and has a good bedside manner? Or if you're going to have heart surgery or brain surgery, do you go to somebody that knows what they're doing? That has a successful track record? All the sincerity in the world is not going to make that brain surgery go right. All the sincerity in the world won't make you feel better or get your money back from a con artist who takes money from you. Sincerity and zeal are to religion what a gas pedal is to a car. It determines how fast you go, but it doesn't determine which direction you're going. There's a lot of people really sincere. Yet the Bible says, and I mean, they're good people. They're honest people. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So Paul, he's saying, my sincerity, I count it but dung. The ritual that was performed on me to prove that I was a Jew of the Jews, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Benjamin, all of that, I count it all but dung. Because only Christ can justify. And then think about the statement that he makes in verse 6 of Philippians 3. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. How self-righteous do you have to be to say that you are blameless according to the dictates of God's law? Josh loves to witness to people using that method of asking somebody, have you ever lied? Which, you know, that's bearing false witness. Have you ever lusted? Well, that's heart adultery. Have you ever stole anything? Have you ever lied? All those things. Well, and they'll say, well, yeah. So what you're telling me is you're a guilty liar, adulterer, and thief. Why should God let you in heaven? Fact is, a lot of people are self-righteous. He said, touching the law, I was blameless. I observed everything the law required. And there are a lot of people today that are trusting in the works of the law without realizing what the law really requires. I have a sermon that I preach usually when I'm in a revival meeting on the depths of the great commandments, about how the Ten Commandments are summed up in two commands. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The first table of the law is covered regarding God. The second table of the law is covered regarding man. And you fail miserably to love him at all times in absolute perfection. You see, man can't keep the law and cannot be justified by the deeds of the law. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2. Paul wrote an entire epistle refuting this idea that you can be saved and justified by law keeping, and you can't. He had to be humbled and brought to an end of himself. He said in verse 16 of Galatians 2, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Verse 21, for I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Look at chapter 3 and verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. James said, if you just break one of the Ten Commandments, you're guilty of all. James chapter 2 and verse 10. When men try to mix their works of righteousness with God's salvation, they are insulting God and saying that the work of Christ is not enough. Something must be added to it. His death, His blood shedding, His offering is not enough. It's not enough to justify. I have to add something to it. That's blasphemy. Man is justified freely. Look over at Romans chapter 3. I've quoted it, but we're going to close on this. A couple of verses in Romans. Romans 3 verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10 and verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I hope that you're trusting in Him tonight alone. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Because men trust in their race, their lineage, their religious sincerity, their respectability and self-righteousness and rituals. And all of those, none of those, will ever justify you before God. Only Christ. Let's all stand.
Page number 89.